This is Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, professor, chocolate maker, and I listen to The Psy Show.
Hello, my friend Larry.
Well, hello, my friend Dan.
How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm just dandy. Dandy.
Dandy. Are you having
I didn't even plan on that.
That's spontaneous at his best, boy.
My combustion.
So how are you doing on this Sunday, huh?
This Sunday. This is a Sunday unlike any other Sunday.
This week is just flying by,
isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem
In fact, it's going so fast, it's almost going forward. Backward. I don't even know.
You don't even know.
No.
I can't tell you.
It almost feels more like a Thursday.
It doesn't feel anything later than a Thursday.
That's
good
right.
Lord. Did you watch the game today? It was great.
The game, yes.
The football games are fantastic.
The football game.
The football games on Sundays.
No, I thought I was watching a Monopoly game.
No, the football games that play on Sundays.
Oh, no, I don't have time for football
because
of all the Monopoly.
All the Monopoly, sure, absolutely. Yes. Hey, you want to sit down? No? All right.
We have a studio audience
at the Psy Show Studios in Midtown, New York City, otherwise known as Larry's Place.
Yeah, that's okay. That's good. Larry's Place, yes.
Larry's Place. Yeah,
Larry's Other Place.
Larry's Other Place. The that's Annex. Place. Larry's Annex. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, my name is Dan Sturgis.
And I'm Larry Hewitt.
And together we are...
What are we together?
We're the Psy Guys. Well, we're Larry and Dan.
We're the Psy Guys.
And we're the Psy Guys. Let's make believe you didn't even say that, Larry. This is the Psy Show.
Sounds like a morning team. The Psy Guys.
The Psy Guys.
93.7 WPSI.
Oh, give that man another drink.
Another one? I don't think so.
Anyway, this is our third show. I thought the first two shows were fantastic. Well, I guess technically this is our fourth show.
Yes.
But this is the third one you guys are
hearing.
They
were internet radio-tastic, I would say.
Yes. Radio-tastic. This is Radio Gold by Larry Hewitt right now, man.
Oh, and
he is rocking.
No.
Anyway, we're the Sci Show. It's Sunday night, a little after 7 o'clock. We're broadcasting from New York City. Tonight we're going to talk about, what do you want to talk about tonight, Larry?
I thought that maybe we'd talk about the three different types of hauntings, Dan.
You mean the big three?
The big three.
Let's talk about the big three. What a great idea. Well, before we get into the big three, let's I guess the only SciShow news we have is we'll be doing a remote show on Halloween night.
The remote show.
For 2 hours. Remote broadcasting from the Merchant's House Museum in New York City.
Yes.
Which will be a lot of fun.
Tons of fun, I would say.
It will be a ton of fun. We'll be up on the third floor.
So much fun, it'll be paranormal.
Yep. I'm guessing it will be. We'll be up on the third floor at the Merchant's House Museum. There'll be in case you want
to
come by or throw a rock through a window.
The third floor.
Why not? In case somebody comes by, they'll say, hey,
third
can
floor,
you show
second
to the third?
Door down on the left.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I know.
And on your way up to see us, you'll have to pass by the parlors where they'll be doing a bunch of events for Halloween, and we'll be broadcasting beginning at 8 p.m. and we're gonna go all the way till 10 p.m. A special 2 hour Sci Show.
A special 2 hour edition of the Sci Show.
A very special Sci Show.
Yes.
We'll be dressed in costumes. I'm thinking about dressing as Madonna circa. The Blonde Ambition Tour. Larry,
excellent.
How about you?
I'm going to be the French maid.
Yes.
I was hoping he was going to say that.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, every year, the French maid.
And we'll have a couple of guests. We'll have some people that have been on investigations at the Merchant's House and experienced some phenomena at the Merchant's House.
We'll be passing out candy if anybody comes by.
Come on by. And
malted milk balls, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
And we're talking about the big ones, not the little minis that you get. We'll hand out the king-size Snicker bars, right?
King-size Snicker bars. Wow.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a much larger budget for the SciShow than I had anticipated.
All right. We'll do them the mini bite size.
No. That's fine.
Larry,
now that
you've
said
it,
we can't, you know, we
can't
let
go
people
back
down.
No one's really listening, Larry. So I don't think my mom is coming trick-or-treating at the Merchant's House on Halloween. So.
Maybe she will.
Hey, Mom, how's it going? Anyway. All right. Moving on.
Let's move on.
That was enough of our Regis and Kelly.
Enough of our witty repartee.
Let's talk about the big three.
Three.
The big friggin' three.
Isn't that some kind of a basketball tournament?
I think that's the final four.
All right.
Right? Check your brackets.
Yeah.
Check your brackets, Larry.
Also, the big three. Isn't that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Hey.
Those are the big three.
There you go.
Those are the biggest three.
Well, depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the big
All
three.
Right.
Go ahead, Larry.
No, you go
with the
ahead.
Big three.
No,
all right. Well.
I've said too much already.
We'll talk about some basic definitions and concepts of ghostly happenings. And that, basically, there are three general categories of experiences and phenomena that have become grouped together altogether as ghosts. And those would be apparitions, hauntings, and poltergeists. And while these three categories are really different on a lot of different levels, the events that surround them might appear similar and even generate combinations of phenomena. Unusual physical activity is typically a result of unconscious psychokinesis or mind over matter or PK, as we're calling it.
Well,
now.
And when you say unusual physical activity, in other words, we're talking about, you know, doors opening and closing on their own.
Right.
We're talking about things flying off of shelves. We're talking about, you know, appliances turning on and off
right,
by themselves.
Poltergeist phenomena. So we could
things
just start
bursting
with
bursting into flames.
How about our
underwear being soiled spontaneously?
That sounds like a Friday night for me. But I guess while we're on the subject of that, we'll start off with poltergeist phenomena.
Okay.
And poltergeist phenomena from a parapsychological point of view. Poltergeist, even though in German it means, Larry?
Noisy, let me try that again. It means a noisy ghost.
That's Larry.
That was a terrible German.
That wasn't even close to German.
I know. I don't know what that was.
That was like,
I could do Scottish.
Tell us what noisy ghost means.
Yes? In
yeah,
what?
Give us your Scottish accent.
No, no, no. Go ahead. Noise a ghost means in what? Oh, in Scottish?
Yeah.
Oh, Lottie, that was a noisy ghost. That wasn't one of them quiet ghosts that we got in Scotland. It was a noisy ghost. And that wasn't even very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, my partner, Larry Hewitt.
But anyway, so it's
so damn proud of you, noisy. Man.
Wait, open that door. It's getting hot in here, Dan.
All right, I didn't shut it.
You're exuding a lot of heat. All right, there we go. However, poltergeists are not ghosts at all.
No,
in fact,
no.
Quite ironically,
no.
And by the way, that movie by the same name is such a complete misnomer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Those were
although
not.
The phenomena in the beginning of the movie was poltergeist phenomena,
well,
but it was generating from something that isn't considered poltergeist.
That's right.
In nature now.
Yeah.
The current model of what parapsychologists are calling.
So poltergeists are not actually ghosts. So in other words, you've got so the classic case study would be, and I'm talking classic, would be a teenage girl under a lot of stress, freaked out about something. And then you have, as I mentioned, things flying off the shelves,
right.
Doors opening and closed, slamming shut on their own, and
right.
All kinds of things like that. This is happening unconsciously from the mind of that teenage girl.
Right.
As many things do from the mind of
the teenage girl. And that person is referred to as, when you're doing a study and this stuff, is called the poltergeist agent. So we'll be calling that person a poltergeist agent, and they're typically involved simultaneously in another stress-inducing situation that causes the poltergeist situation.
Like that song from the 60s.
What song is that, Larry?
You know, poltergeist agent man, poltergeist agent man.
So the poltergeist experience in
Yeah, go ahead.
You mind?
No, sorry.
Okay, we're
going to
move on.
I'm just...
In a poltergeist case, the physical effects are the most common reported phenomena. Anything, like Larry was saying, anything from movement and even the possible levitation of objects to disappearance and reappearance of objects.
Aportation and deportation.
Thank you.
Aportation meaning the appearance of the object, deportation as what happens with many illegal aliens... The removal or disappearance of the object.
Correct. Correctamundo. And unusual behavior of electronic and electric devices.
Right.
Unexplainable temperature changes, unexplainable sounds like scratching and banging on the wall, as well as a combination of everything. Rarely are ghostly figures or voices seen or heard, although it's just not out of the question.
Right.
Although these aren't what we're going to be talking about later, apparitions.
Right.
These are just kind of manifestations out of...
Exactly.
Somebody's mind.
Exactly. Now, again, this is all coming from someone who is a living, breathing person that is causing this phenomenon. What I find interesting about this phenomenon, the really interesting part for me, is how a lot of the phenomena is actually an externalization of the stress that the person is feeling. So, like, for example, Lloyd's story about the kid, the teenage boy, who was all stressed out because his parents had pressured him into joining the swim team, and
right.
Suddenly water would just start appearing, there would be these bursts of water from the ceiling, and that was from the teenage boy.
Right, in a lot of these cases you'll find patterns, and the phenomena can be considered a metaphor of what
right.
they're going through.
Like, you know, a woman that is stressed out about the amount of housework she has to do, there may be a lot of phenomena around the kitchen, the stove turning on and off by itself, the microwave going crazy, things like that.
Right, and that's all just stress-induced PK, stress-induced
right.
psychokinesis. And speaking of the person, it's the poltergeist agent themselves. You can usually narrow it down to one person, and although sometimes it's a combination of people, co-create a psychological dynamic that causes one or more of the people to mentally set off the physical disturbances.
Right. I also want to mention something else that's related to this, but is a little bit different, which is poltergeist phenomena that's not necessarily caused by stress, but is caused by sort of the desire to see phenomena. I'm having a brain fart. What's the name? There was that experiment where these people were brought together and they were going to be channeling.
What was the guy's name?
Yeah, that's what I can't remember. they were channeling this the ghost
the
of
amazing
this,
William
or something like that, and this ghost. You know, so in other words, these people were sort of having a seance, sitting around a table, and they brought forth, like, let's just say it's William. And William was doing all kinds of things, levitating the table and you know, opening and closing doors and sending messages through a Ouija board and all kinds of things. Now, go ahead, Dan. Feel free to chew on your chocolate-covered pretzels.
That's fantastic.
And it turns out that this was all created by the...
the combined.
That's right. Of the people right. sitting there. It was all made up.
That'd be a cool experiment to try.
Yeah.
Some table tipping. Have you ever done that?
I haven't done table tipping, but yeah, that's... Yeah, but that's another... Excuse me. Example of that. I should just go ahead and burp into the mic, I guess.
Let it rip, man.
But yeah, table tipping is another example of that. Where, again, it's the same sort of thing. People sit around a table. They gently put their fingers on top of the table, their fingertips on top of the table, and concentrate on the movement of the table or bringing forth energy, and usually the table starts going wild.
And that might also, I mean, we'll talk about, we'll have a show on the Ouija board, but that might have something to do with the results people get on a Ouija board, although
right.
not, I think it's more the ideomotor effect, but...
ideomotor effect?
Yeah.
Ideomotor effect?
Ideomotor effect.
Go ahead. Explain ideomotor effect.
Ideomotor effect.
I was giving you an in. I was giving you an opening.
What? I missed it. I'm sorry.
I said ideomotor, ideomotoring effect. And that was like, well, Larry, ideomotoring effect is the effect of...
It's your muscles... I hate you. I'm going to hit you in the head with a beer bottle.
I'm full of piss and vinegar tonight, as they would say down south.
Let's move on. Let's
Explain ideomotoring effect.
Ideomotor effect is your body's ability. Well, not ability, but it's your body subconsciously. You don't even know that your muscles are tweaking let's just say, a pendulum.
Right.
You're holding a pendulum, and you think, I want this pendulum to spin counterclockwise.
Right.
The pendulum will eventually start spinning counterclockwise,
right.
not because you're moving it. You can't. It's imperceivable the muscles that are causing this pendulum to move.
But by the way, this is, and I mean this quite seriously. This is a great party trick,
right.
or
right.
date trick. I've done several times where, especially if you're on a date, and
ladies, see what you're in for when you go out with Larry Hewitt.
Exactly.
You get to spin a pendulum.
You know, when I start talking about paranormal, I was like for example, and I say, may I borrow your necklace? And they give me the necklace, and I hold it, and it seems like my hand is not moving in any way, shape, or form, and yet I say to them, so tell me, which direction do you want it to go? Do you want it to go in a circle? Do you want it to go back and forth? And it goes just the way they say, and they switch it up, and it's an amazing effect, but it's
yeah.
purely psychomotoring.
Or the ideomotor effect.
Oh, ideomotor. Sorry.
Or another word, automatism, I think. Automatism, I think they call it.
Automatism?
Yeah.
Okay.
Automatism. Automatism.
Now you're just speaking in tongues.
Okay.
Start snake handling. The
poltergeist effect. Where'd we leave off? We were talking before we got into pendulums and Larry's dating
so
habits.
Far. I don't know if anybody out there is enjoying this, but I certainly am.
Let's see. What's a typical poltergeist agent? Adolescence. Adolescence is a commonly stressful life period and psychologically, physically, and the majority of reported poltergeist cases involve adolescent agents. Anywhere from ranges of 12
Those
to 13
kids.
to the early 20s. But it can happen to anybody at any age and any sex. In cases, though, the age is below 10, you really don't find a lot of that stuff, I believe, according to Lloyd Auerbach, our friend.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything.
Right. And it doesn't mean that everybody under stress or with epilepsy is a they found that people who have epilepsy tend to be able to create a lot of this poltergeist activity, and a lot of physical movements of things around them, and a lot of our friend Stephanie, although she doesn't have epilepsy at all, she does she is one of those people that anywhere where she is, she will blow light bulbs out. Hmm. It's pretty amazing. Watch. She calls me all the time, tells me she popped another light bulb. Amazing stuff.
Amazing stories.
Yes, yes. And, well, we were also talking about metaphors, and did we cover poltergeist, well, everything we wanted to cover?
We pretty much killed it.
Wow. All right. Well, we got a couple examples I think I can play. Let's see if we can pull something up. I'm going to play, we had just mentioned Stephanie. I'm going to play a clip that we recorded at the Merchant's House Museum. Now, and a lot of the clips you'll hear on the show I've gleaned from the Merchant's House Museum. It's a pretty active place, and I've been there many times and have had lots of luck with capturing a lot of phenomena. But this clip I'll play right now, it's we are in the Merchant's House Museum in Seabury Treadwell's room, second bedroom on the on the street side of
not too many people are named Seabury anymore.
Not too many people are named Treadwell.
Or Treadwell. Why do these names just disappear?
Well, Seabury. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool name, though. If you'd like, I'd call you Seabury, if you like. Seabury Hewitt.
Seabury.
Anyway, so we're in Seabury's room, and we're asking some questions, and we're doing an EVP session. There was about five of us there. And Stephanie, who you'll hear speaking, she asks if somebody would like us to turn the lights on or off. I don't recall. But this was her first investigation, and she jumped right in. She was fantastic and wasn't shy about asking questions in front of people. And
I think she asked if she wanted them off.
Off, okay.
Off, yeah.
And you'll hear a loud bang. And let's just play this. And
you ruined the whole punchline there.
Go ahead, Larry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm going to have a pretzel. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. No. Okay. You gave away the punchline to the joke.
The punchline. Okay. Well, I'm waiting for this as much as you guys are. So let's play. Let's play my friend Stephanie as she experiences her very first paranormal event, and I love her reaction afterwards. So, here we go. Suddenly, Stephanie plays for the Who. Here we are.
Somebody want these lights turned on?
I'm either seeing a flickering of my peripheral, or like somebody's in front of them, or I'm making it up in my head. I don't know.
That's Stephanie having her first paranormal experience. Being my friend,
so
that was
freaked out.
That was really really cool. I'm gonna play that again just because it's funny.
Yes, it is.
But what I think that was, I don't necessarily think, only because I've been to the Merchant's House so many times and have done plenty of investigations. Larry, you've been on plenty of them as well. And nothing like that has ever happened at the Merchant's House.
Nothing
I've never heard a loud bang like that. And so the only new kind of...
And it hasn't... So it never happened up to that point, and it's never happened since.
No, this was just this past August.
Right.
The only kind of wild card we had that night was Stephanie.
And she's quite a wild card.
She really is. And I've had a huge crush on Stephanie for like 20 years. So if you're listening, Stephanie, big crush. And but at the time, she was under an enormous amount of stress, some job-related stress. She wasn't feeling well. Her back was sore. And it was the first time she was doing a paranormal investigation, which can be a little stressful, or you can also have really high expectations that something might happen and that might generate that phenomena to have occurred. So let's play it one more time just because I like hearing Stephanie at a loss for words. Let's hit it one more time.
What was that, Dan?
That was the door.
Did you do that?
Yeah. What was the
was the question that you just asked? Does somebody want these lights turned off?
I'm either seeing a flickering out of my peripheral or like somebody's in front of them or I'm making it out of my head.
All right, that one's for you, Steph. Fantastic. And that's our take on poltergeist phenomena in a very general sense.
Generally speaking.
And what do you want to talk about for number two of the big three? What are we thinking?
What should be number two?
I think
what you said. Memories?
Yeah. That all sounds right. Like a great idea. How'd you come up with that for number two?
You know, I pulled it out.
Yeah, we'll leave the ghosts and the apparitions for last.
There you go.
So what do you think about place memories there?
So place memories. So the idea of place memories, the theory is that a place, if you will, a location, can act sort of like some kind of recorder. So it records the energy of events that had occurred there, and then those events can be played back much the way an audio file or a video file can be played back by some kind of player recorder or laptop or what have you. So in other words, if, say, some grisly murder took place in a house at 11 o'clock at night, perhaps at 11 o'clock at night, screams can be heard, for example. Or, you know, sounds of a struggle could be heard or something like that. Oftentimes, it's something that was of a very highly emotional nature that has been imprinted on the location. However, by the same token, it's very mundane events that had been imprinted on the location.
So is it doesn't necessarily have to be, it's the environment or the actual ground or the wood or the brick of the house or a combination of everything.
Right.
And that records this energy I think when the conditions are correct and whatever the trigger may be, nobody really understands it.
Right.
These energy is released, and I think only certain people are able to decode that, almost like
a cable channel.
And otherwise, everybody would be having experience at the same time.
That's right. Well, yeah.
The apparitions that people see, the ghosts that people see during a place memory haunting. If a place memory haunting is just kind of a replay, say of a past event, the actors or the characters in this past event, they're not intelligent type of
of
spirits.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just being played over, and which is why I think a lot of times people will say, you know, this person I saw this woman in white, and she was walking down the hallway, and she didn't even seem to notice me, and she walked right through a wall.
Right.
I think probably because, and a lot of parapsychologists seem to think the theory is that because this is just a replay, a film loop, if you will, of a past event. Whenever that woman in the past was walking down that hallway or in that area, there wasn't a wall where she was walking, so it seems that she's walking right through this wall.
Right, so in other words, you know, at the time that this event had taken place, the layout of this location may have been different.
Right.
So over the subsequent years, maybe a wall had been put up where there was a doorway and
or
so
a staircase.
On.
You know,
right.
Somebody has been walking up a staircase and somebody, right. The staircase isn't there anymore.
Right.
And a person can perceive somebody...
Right.
Floating up into
right.
the air
right.
and
yeah.
through the ceiling.
Right.
Well, very cool stuff.
Yes.
And as a result, that I think this stuff is hard to catch on any kind of media. The people who are able to witness this stuff. Hold on, my computer's acting. There we go.
What I find interesting about this type of phenomenon too is that it often can happen not just under the right environmental conditions, which you know would make sense. In other words, you're talking about the media mm-hmm. that might contribute to this happening. So you know, if the right barometric pressure, the right amount of humidity in the air, the right temperature, and so on, that might add to this. but also timing. So in other words, you know, I've heard that with a lot of these place memory cases, that things happen on the anniversary of certain events,
right.
which is interesting.
But you know, if they were, wouldn't people be? Wouldn't we have heard about that stuff? Saying, look, you know, on this particular day, every year at this time, this happens. You have a crowd of people, and
yeah,
I think
I
that
know.
That would be big news. It would be somewhere.
Yeah.
Ah, whatever the case, it's not understood now, and what causes this stuff, and whatever the actual mechanism, it apparently possesses longevity, and these things can go on for years, and can happen even after you've knocked a house down. What is it, the Borley Rectory,
right.
Over in London, where phenomena is still happening even after the building's been torn down.
So in other words, it has something to do with the land that the structures were built on.
Right, and there's been a lot of experiments into the electromagnetic or magnetic fields that exist in the natural environment of where one of these hauntings takes place. And it seems that that the higher the magnetic or electromagnetic field, the geomagnetic field, the natural electromagnetic field is, more people are perceiving these hauntings. So that might have something to do with it.
Right.
And you know, we talked about this once before, you and I, Larry, that that quartz and limestone, and these are all energy-absorbing materials.
Right.
Maybe these the area and the location itself is able to absorb and contain this energy, and the trigger, who knows what the trigger is, but it's released, and if you're lucky and you have somebody there who is able to pick up on that or perceive that or decode that, like we said before, then you've got a haunting going on.
Yep.
That would be...
there you go.
And have you ever had any kind of experience with this? Have you ever?
Well, funny you should say that, Dan. When I was leading a tour with a group of people at Eastern State Penitentiary, and nothing was going on the entire night. We had a bunch of people on that investigation, and they were all becoming very they were disappointed, and they were becoming very frustrated, I should say, and nicely done.
Thank you.
And started. Cursing at the ghosts, yelling obscenities, you know, and I was like, whoa, calm down, guys, you know, this happens sometimes. Then at the very end of the night, the last half hour of the investigation, we broke up into smaller groups, and I brought just a couple of people with me down one of the cell blocks that was supposedly very haunted. We went right down to the very end of the cell block. Now it's dark, you know, all the lights are out. It's not pitch black. I mean, you could see other people in front of you. You know, at the very least, you can see their shadows in front of you. And I said to the people that were with me, you know, let's do something a little bit different. Let's forget about the equipment for a moment. Let's leave the EMF meters and the recorders off. Let's not do an EVP session. And instead, let's just sit quietly and sort of, you know, psychically open ourselves up to whatever energies might be here, whatever entities might be here, and just see what comes to us, rather than sort of hunting the ghosts, you know, explicitly. And so we did that. And after, I would say it was only about 20 seconds, the cell that was right in front of us, the cell door, it was as if someone had grabbed onto the bars of that cell door and just violently started shaking it. And you just heard boom, 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 boom. Very much like the sound you heard that Stephanie had conjured up. But it was this sort of repetitive boom, 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 boom. And it went on for I'd say, about 10 seconds. And then it stopped. The people I was with were very freaked out. But as soon as it stopped, we went over with our flashlights. We looked. There was nothing there. There was no one there. It wasn't the sort of thing where anyone could sneak up on us. We'd see them. We would have heard them. You know, the cell blocks are very echoey. The floors are lined with debris and dirt and rocks. So we would have heard, you know, people walking up to us. We went into the cell block. Obviously, you know, it's a prison cell. There's only one way in or out. And so it was truly a paranormal experience. And what I felt was it was one of these place memories. It was probably something that had happened a while ago and was just imprinted.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. I actually I have a clip from Eastern State that I'll play, and I'll tell the story behind it. Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia.
Right, I guess we should explain.
It's in Philadelphia. I think it's the oldest solitary confinement prison, or the earliest solitary confinement prison. These prisoners who were sentenced to spend the rest of their days in Eastern State. It was a terrible place. Not that he didn't deserve it, but these people were put in these cells and didn't see another human being for the rest of their life.
And do you know why, Dan? Do you know the reason?
No, the reasoning was?
The reasoning was that they would commune with God and find salvation that way.
Right.
That was the idea.
So even when they would get their meals, they had double doors. And the first door, the person delivering the meal would open up a door, put the meal inside this first door, shut it, and only when he shut the first door could the prisoner open the inside door to get the meal. So even when they were getting food delivered, they never saw anybody.
Right.
Amazing stuff. For years. No contact with anybody. But I do have a clip here that I recorded with my friend Don Bellella. We were shooting a little spot for Spike TV for a webisode of one of their shows, and we had a group of people with us, and I was pretty sure that one of the fellows that was with us was faking evidence and he was falsifying things, and it just seemed that every time he was around, we were catching something great, and I was pretty sure he was messing around. I still am. But so tonight was the night that I was going to catch him, and I had set up a pretty sensitive microphone in the oldest cell block of the penitentiary. I just picked a random cell and put a microphone under a toilet and connected it directly to a laptop computer that I left outside of the cell in the cell block in the middle of the hallway. And I told everybody, I said, please, everybody, don't walk down this hall because I'm recording. I want a nice, clean recording. Just baiting this fella, baiting him. I put a flashlight outside the cell to make it easy to find, and I did everything to make it convenient for him. But what I didn't tell anybody was that I had set up my video camera with night vision in this cell block to catch anybody who might walk down the hallway. So about an hour and a half later, I retrieve my laptop and I'm looking at it and on a recording on the software on the computer. If it's quiet, it's just a flat line. And if there's any kind of noise, you would have bumps in this line, like a heartbeat monitor in the hospital. And sure enough, I had about 2 minutes of bumps on this line and plugged in the headphones and listened, and we had some pretty clear EVP, electronic voice phenomena. And I said, all right, I got this son of a bitch. And grabbed my video camera, and everything was time-stamped. We're able to pull up the time that this noise and EVP was happening, and sure enough, nobody had walked down the hall. If you walk down those halls, Larry, you can back me up on this. It's real dilapidated, and you can't sneak up on a microphone.
Yeah, definitely.
And so...
You're crunching, you know, underfoot.
Right. And the film crew that was there, we were able to verify where everybody was at the time of the recording, which I believe was about 9:30 in the evening. So I'll play this for you. I won't tell you what I think it says, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go.
Can you speak?
So I'll tell you what I think it says. I think it says, my house, my home. Which, I mean, nobody was asking any kind of questions, so this is just a little piece of a conversation, I think, that something triggered the environment and this energy was released. And for whatever reason, we were lucky enough, maybe it was the microphone, the type of computer, who knows. But we were able to pick this up. I'm going to play it one more time. My house, my house, my home.
Yeah.
Well, that is my Eastern State Penitentiary.
It's very creepy.
EVP. Yeah, it's... I mean, is it creepy because it just sounds creepy?
Yeah, it sounds creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, yeah, any kind of voice you're pulling out of the thin air, I guess, is creepy.
Yeah.
Whatever,
but I mean,
saying.
Well, I mean, that's not necessary. I mean, you could be pulling out a very, you know, soft, lilting female voice, and that would be kind of sexy. But
in a creepy kind of way.
Well, but this is just creepy sounding.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a hiss. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost like a giant snake.
Right.
Saying this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's also a desperation to it when, you know, when he says, you know, because the second my house is like a scream. You
right.
know?
It's very loud.
And then it's just this sort of like. This depressed kind of my home, you know, like it's weird.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't know if I can give that voice an attitude.
No.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. But you know, as I've said to people in the past, you know, you can't. First of all, a lot of EVP, when you get EVPs, the voices sound very creepy.
Yeah.
And it's not that this is necessarily something, you know, it's an angry spirit or it's a demonic or whatever. You know, understand that these are possibly entities that are trying to communicate in any way they can. They do not have vocal cords. They don't have mouths, physical mouths. They don't have tongues or any of the apparatus that you need to actually... You know, pronounce words.
Right. I mean, what they're doing is they're imprinting.
They're manipulating energy.
Right.
Right.
And through using PK.
That's right.
And to imprint these things onto
right.
the recording media.
That's right. And so, you know, there's not a lot of control over that process.
Right.
And therefore, it just sort of is what it is. And there isn't necessarily. You can't really attribute any sort of emotion to it necessarily.
Right. And then plus, on top of all that, these things are very, very subtle when you're listening to them.
That's right.
And they're all, I mean, this has been manipulated in that that it's been cleaned up. I used a program called Sound Soap. So I mean, it didn't sound as creepy as it does now when I originally heard it. Only like taking a lot of the background noise out,
right.
It leaves a higher hiss,
right.
And then bumping the decibels up. It does
yeah.
sound a lot more creepier than now
yeah, yeah, yeah.
than it did originally. Not that it wasn't creepy. You know,
I wouldn't want to hear that being said in my ear while I was asleep.
What would you want to hear? What would you want to hear?
I can't discuss that right now, Dan. Maybe
okay.
later.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, I have one more if you want. Can you indulge me one more? I got some footsteps.
It is my pleasure to indulge you.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, this is at the Merchant's House Museum. And the only reason I like this particular clip, these are actually two clips, was that there were four of us in the house at the time. And my buddy Dan Tisch, lovingly known as Tisch, Anthony Belov, and Dale, I forget his last name. I'm sorry. I'm not going to try. It's two words. But
you lovingly forget his last name.
No. I lovingly call Dan Tisch or Tisch. But Dale, who I love, I just forget his last name. I'm sorry, Dale. But and Anthony Belov, they're both board members, and we were at the Merchant's House, and we actually heard this recording as it was happening. We had recorders set up in Eliza Treadwell's bedroom, Mrs. Treadwell, and then we had a recorder set up in Seabury's bedroom where the Stephanie clip we played earlier was recorded. And we heard the footsteps. We were downstairs underneath in the rooms underneath both these bedrooms. And we heard the footsteps walk out of Eliza's room. Her room is in the back of the house. And walk down the hallway and then walk into Seabury's. And luckily we had a recorder in both rooms. So the first set of footsteps you will hear, you'll hear the difference in the two recorders as they play through. But the first set of footsteps is from Eliza's room. The second set of footsteps, the second recorder, is in Seabury's room. So we'll play them now for you.
Thank you.
And you know what's cool about this, too? The second EVP, you'll hear a little click. I'm going to play just the second one. And I catch this a lot on EVP. It almost sounds like a crack of static electricity before you hear the actual EVP. Let me just play it really, because it's very, very clear. You hear that? That little snap?
Yeah.
I catch that a lot. I don't know if you've come across that.
Play it again.
Oh. Hear it?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's almost like it's a click.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, to me, it just
almost
seems
like flipping a light switch or something.
Flipping a light switch or just some kind of static discharge or some kind of electrical discharge before the footsteps. Anyway, it's just something that I've come across more than once or twice. So it's always piqued my interest. And that's our little rant on place memory.
Was that a rant?
Yeah, a little bit of a rant.
Those place memories.
That residual haunting. You'll hear a lot of the guys on TV call place memory the residual haunting.
Residual hauntings. That's
yeah. And
the Taps team calls
the
it.
Taps, those Taps guys.
Yes, the Taps guys.
You've taken classes with Taps.
I've taken a class.
A class?
Yeah.
Was that cool? They're cool guys. I've met those guys. They're cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I went out to their little headquarters there and yeah. Out in Rhode Island and Warwick, and
right.
it was fun.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. But very cool. So now moving on, we've got one more, mm-hmm. and this is the one that gets the most attention, I guess.
It's
and
the rock star of the paranormal world.
The rock stars of paranormal worlds is full bodied, non-vaporous apparitions.
Non-vaporous. Who said anything about non-vaporous?
Non-vaporous. Don't you remember in Ghostbusters? That's a full-body non-vaporous apparition.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Non-vaporous full-bodied. I forget what they say. Anyway, full-bodied apparitions. Apparitions or an intelligent haunting or the ability to
leap tall buildings in a single bound.
And communicate, even though your body is gone. And you're just your consciousness that that Larry so eloquently spoke of last week.
It's also the case on late Saturday nights for me.
Let's say that again.
That my body is gone and
your mind is. See, I'm the opposite. my body's there, but my mind is gone.
Oh, I see.
Thankfully, and let's see. It's the ability for a deceased person's mind or consciousness to function or survive. Bodily death and to be able to function outside the body and not only function, but be able to interact and communicate with people whose
right.
body hasn't died. That would be considered an intelligent haunting. There are a few different subcategories under that would be crisis apparitions, which...
Crisis apparitions.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, well,
crisis apparition. That would be the Holy Ghost.
Right, exactly. That would be one of the big three, the biggest three, just to go back to the beginning of the show. you know, it's funny that you say that. It makes me think of Michael Persinger in Quebec, who is doing a lot of research in electromagnetic fields and how they affect the human brain. And he is able to, by manipulating the electromagnetic field, the frequency that it's hitting the right hemisphere of the brain, he can recreate spiritual events and
what do you mean? What's a spiritual event?
Seeing the Virgin Mary and
so I see.
Right. So they will have some kind of epiphany
right.
and communicate with Jesus and and he also has done that with aliens abductions. He's been able to recreate this in the lab. Somebody's sitting in a chair and will have the sensation that they're floating out a window. And going into the mothership and being experimented on, or seeing, you know, some kind of religious figure and having a religious experience, or he's also recreated haunting phenomena where people have tasted and smelled and felt like somebody was in the room with them.
By doing what?
By just manipulating
the electromagnetic fields that are entering the right hemisphere of your brain. He puts a helmet on you. And
tinfoil helmet, I take it?
Pretty much, yeah. No, it looks like, what do you call those things that you rinse the pasta out in?
Not a sieve. I don't know.
A pasta rinser.
Yeah.
And
a colander. That's
a colander. You have that on your head, and he's able to manipulate the frequencies that go into your brain. But and he's been able to recreate this. So that's why a lot of times when we're doing an investigation, we'll check on the electromagnetic fields, the man-made electromagnetic fields.
Right.
If that might be causing some of the if somebody's hypersensitive to EMF, they might. The experiences that they're having might be due to the fact that they're getting some kind of strange EMF frequencies into their brain, usually from an alarm clock. I don't know if you've come across that in your
investigations. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's incredible how huge of an EMF field an alarm clock gives off.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And EMF fields, they dissipate in short distances. So all you have to do is tell the person to move the alarm clock 6 inches away from their head. And, I mean, most alarm clocks are on a nightstand right next to your head.
Right next to your head, yeah.
I did an investigation down in Tribeca, and a girl, her boyfriend, could not spend the night in this girl's apartment. He was freaked out. He was seeing things. Now, if she would have a girl's night, all her friends would come over, and nobody could spend the night in this apartment. And we found out that her side of the bed was far away from where her friends would sleep.
Uh-huh.
We put an EMF meter down on the pillow of her boyfriend's pillow, and it was through the roof. And it turns out that the elevator machine room was right behind.
Oh, I see.
Was right behind the wall. So we said, change your bed around. We changed the bed around, and nobody had any more experiences.
Interesting. I had forgotten to tell you, before I went to the Merchant House investigation last week, or
okay,
whatever week it was. Now all this time travel has got me confused. I had dinner at an Indian restaurant. Now I had my EMF meters with me, and I don't remember why I took it out. I think I was taking it out to show my date, and I turned it on, and it was through the roof. The EMF fields that we were sitting in. I mean,
it was a haunted restaurant.
It was incredible. It was through the roof, and I was like, "Wow, this just can't be good for you."
Wow.
And the food was awful on top of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it? Let's call him out, man.
Raj Mahal on 6th Street.
Hey, Raj Mahal on 6th Street, you suck. All right, I'm looking something up. I'm trying to find an EVP that you sent me, Larry. So.
Oh, yes, find that EVP. That's a good one. So I should set this up. So,
hold on. It's because I can't get online here.
Why? Don't you have it on your computer?
Here we are.
Okay. Well, don't play it yet. Let me set it up.
I'm not. I'm just going to open it up.
All right. So my group was called in to investigate a church. And there were many reports of activity at this church, hearing footsteps, doors opening and closing, hearing sort of voices and mumbling, lights going on and off. But the most interesting report was of this 7-year-old boy who was the child of one of the people that worked there, who was saying that he met a girl in the bathroom who was a dead girl. Her name was Hannah, and she lived in the bathroom. Hannah told him that she lived in the bathroom with some other people and that her mother lived in the other bathroom, which was strange. And so what you'll hear on this clip is, or I should first say what you won't hear, is a conversation that I was having with the other members of the team and just saying, well, I wonder what is the relationship between Hannah and these other people that she mentions. And what you'll hear is one of our investigators asking questions of Hannah and what seems to be direct responses to those questions through the sound of an EMF meter, an electromagnetic field meter. In the midst of this sort of question and answer session, there is an EVP. So try to listen for that. We'll play it again and call it out.
but try to listen.
Tell me when you're ready, Larry.
I'm ready when you are.
Hannah, did you come in and play with the toys in here ever? Hannah, are you in here playing with the toys?
So again, it's right in the middle, and we'll play it again. It's after the first question and the first response. After that first response, listen carefully, and you'll hear that EVP.
Hannah, did you come in and play with the toys in here ever? Hannah, are you in here playing with the toys?
So we'll play it one more time, but what it sounds like to us was, again, we were saying, so what is the relationship? And what it sounds like is a male voice saying, she's like a daughter. And then it's as if this person is, like, searching for words. Like, she's like a daughter, like that. So listen again.
Hannah, did you come in and play with the toys in here ever? Hannah, are you in here playing with the toys?
And what I really love about this is that, besides the fact that it's just a really cool EVP, it's just the idea that, first of all, according to the psychic that was with us that night, she was saying that this place has got ghosts. It's crawling with ghosts. There's a number of ghosts here. But what I really like is the fact that there's this little girl, the ghost of a little girl. She was about this boy's age, so she's about 7 years old. And there are adults there. There are people there that are taking care of her, that love her, that, you know, she's like a daughter to them, mm-hmm. and she's being taken care of. And that's just really sweet.
It's just life goes on. It's
yeah, exactly.
It's nobody is right. haunting their living.
Yeah. And, right. Not only does life go on, but, you know, love goes on.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Now, while this is a response or at least almost an explanation to you and your team, you guys didn't hear this at the time of the recording.
No, not at all.
And that's because these, like Larry was saying before, these apparitions don't have the tools to manipulate sound waves that we're able to hear,
or they don't have
a tongue or a voice box, and they also don't have they don't have a body, they don't have mass to be able to reflect light and have their photograph taken. Any kind of evidence like this or photographs of an apparition, parapsychologists believe in a parapsychological sense, it's because this apparition has chosen to be heard and chosen to imprint their voice or their image onto the media, the recording media, whether it be analog or digital or audio or for a photograph or for a video. We can't see these people with our eyes, I don't believe. They project their image psychically to us. It's the only way they have, if they're just a mind or a consciousness.
Right.
So it's amazing to think that there are this intelligence that, for lack of a better word, is floating around and is able to communicate and answer questions. I've got a clip that, let's find it over here. Here we are. Recorded with good friends Garrett Husfeth and Chris Fleming and Lloyd Auerbach. We were out in California, and Morgan Calder, she might be listening in Las Vegas tonight. Love you, Morgan. And we were all out in California in Valencia. We were shooting a television pilot for it was turned out to be terrible, and thankfully didn't get picked up. But we did make some great friends and had a great investigation in this house where it seemed they had all three of these phenomena that we're talking about tonight going on at this house. And we were taking a break actually from filming, and the EMT who was on set and one of the lighting guys or the grips or somebody, one of the tech guys, were in the laundry room of this house. And they said that the door started jiggling. So they thought somebody had gotten locked out, and they opened the door and there was nobody there. So of course they called us, and we went running out, and Chris Fleming had his digital voice recorder with him. And the way Chris, now Chris is an EVP magnet. If you guys remember some of the shows that Chris has been on, and he collects EVP anywhere he's at, he can collect EVP. And Chris's style is he'll ask a question, he'll pause naturally for the EVP to be recorded, and then he plays the recording back immediately to kind of throw that energy back out into the atmosphere. So what you'll hear is Chris, the first question he asked, we were surrounded by about 12 people, we were all on camera, all keeping an eye on each other, nobody was speaking, and I won't tell you what it sounds, I don't have to tell you what it sounds like, it's pretty clear, so. Let's turn the volume up on this.
Can you speak right now to this recorder? Can you hear my voice?
Now, pretty clearly, I'm going to play the cleaned up version where it's just the EVP, so it'll come quick. Now, it sounds to me like he's getting an answer. Can you hear my voice? He's got somebody saying, yes, look over here. I'm going to play them both right in a row.
Can you speak right now to this recorder? Can you hear my voice?
Yeah, that's just that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Just one of my favorites, cool. Just because I got to watch it happen,
right?
As it was going on, and it was pretty remarkable. So that is, I believe, a great example of direct communication with a consciousness whose body has moved on and whose body's passed away, and the consciousness has moved on and is reaching out to us and understands what we're doing and asking. So an intelligent haunting. Larry, there you go.
Very cool.
Now, we are right at an hour right now.
Cool.
And
It
flew by as quick as this week it flew by. What are you going to do the rest of the night on this lovely Sunday night? It was nice out today, wasn't it?
It was quite lovely.
Yeah.
Quite lovely.
What are you going to do for the rest of the night?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Me neither.
You know, the usual. Sit home and weep openly.
Why are you weeping, pal?
I'm a weepy guy.
No, man. You've got things going on. You're a handsome young man.
All kinds of things going on.
Yeah, well, all right, we'll wrap it up. I'm going to talk to Larry off air and find out why he's so sad. There's nothing
not
I've
sad.
Done,
I'm
has it?
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
I'm happy. I'm happy to be here with my friend Larry.
I'm happy to be here with my friend
Ben. I was totally fishing for that. Thank you.
Yeah. I know.
Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up. Want to say thanks again for everybody who might be listening and for all the support that you guys have been giving us. Here's a little Black Crowes to get us out for the rest of the weekend. Sometimes salvation, Larry. I'll talk to you next week, brother.
See ya, pal.
Take care.